going back, I'm going back to loving me. High and low, hot and cold, I looked everywhere for what I need. But now I know, now I know, I'm going back.
Hello, welcome to SOS. I am your host, Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. Thank you for joining me tonight. I really appreciate you being here. And if you're looking for ways to improve your self-esteem, business, circumstances, and relationships, you have come to the right place. As a soul sculptor, I help you break the mold of past, clearing whatever stands in the way for you to have the amazing life and relationship of your dreams. If you have a question tonight and would like to have it answered on the air, tonight I have the correct phone in numbers. They are 888-429-5471 and 323-744-4841. And I'll be taking calls in about 30 minutes. Tonight's show is all about the men and sex, the male orgasm. You know, our last show, 2 weeks ago, was about the female orgasm. You know, ladies first, ladies come first, last and always is my motto. And tonight we are talking about men. Where would we be without men? We wouldn't have babies, would we? So the last time we talked about what a woman wants, what she desires, what she likes, how to have more sex in your relationship by pleasing your woman. So you can listen to the archive of last week, the last show that I did. It's also on YouTube, in my channel, in the archives on BBS here. And this show tonight is based on my book, Orgasm for Life. It is available on Audible and Amazon. And I think you'll find it quite a turn on, as well as funny and educational. Orgasm for Life is way more than a sex book. It's a book about a conscious, loving relationship. And if you don't know much about your body or that of your partner, this book will gently and often humorously guide you to a better understanding of yourself and your partner with love, kindness, and respect. Sex is sacred. And life is sacred also. And you know, today it is getting way more complicated out there. So we need to be having a lot more sacred sex to enjoy life a lot more. Sex can be used as medicine. It reduces stress, relieves a lot of things, including depression. And it can lead to a much deeper relationship, keeping you connected. And also it lets go of all that sniping and conflict that can arise. It can diminish an argument into nothing in moments. So, you know, let's be kinder to one another, have more sex, love one another more. Tomorrow is promised to no one. And one thing that you will never be criticized for is loving someone too much. My purpose here is to guide you to living a healthier, more authentic life so that you can have more joy. And one way to experience more joy is to have more sex. So we'll be diving into the arms and beautiful body of the men tonight. Yum. What brings a man pleasure and what doesn't? We'll be discussing what a man needs and why. I'll even give you some navigational tools and maybe pull a few tips out of my sleeve so that you can enjoy sex more. Sex is as natural as thirst for water. It is a basic human need. So how important is sex to a man? This is a question you need to be asking. It's very important. For most men, sex is the most important aspect of a relationship. It is primal. You know, many women would say that sex is important. However, women are more likely to overlook sex if everything else is going well. Women focus on love while men tend to focus on sex. Now, Marlo Thomas is quoted as saying, she was married to Merv Griffin. I mean, she's still married to Merv Griffin, a very long and happy marriage. And she's quoted as saying, when a marriage is good, sex is about 35% important. When a marriage is bad, the importance of sex is 85%. The closest couples have sex until it is no longer possible. They continue to spoon, snuggle, and hold hands. You know, I interviewed a woman that had been married to her husband for 60 years. I saw them in a swimming pool at the gym in Georgia. And I asked her, how did you maintain such a beautiful, loving connection with your husband? Because typically you see older couples are sniping and snaring with each other. And she said, and now this is going to make you laugh. Well, you'll see in a moment. She said, I treat my husband as if he is the president of the United States. Now, we had a different president back then. So if you're not a Trump supporter, you may not appreciate that. But this is what she said, is that she respects him. And she said, if he were to walk in the house dripping wet, instead of yelling at him like most of us would, she would go get him a towel and help dry him off. And I watched the two of them snuggling in the swimming pool. She was embracing him, having him stand in front of her, holding him. They were very sweet together. And that is what I wish for you. So men choose a woman based on sex or the prospect of having sex. They may admire her curves, the way she smiles, her sense of humor, even the way she laughs or smells. But in the end, his focus is on sex. In a relationship, a man's focus is sex. He gets a great deal of self-esteem from pleasing his woman and having sex with her. Men cannot be intimate until they have sex. And women, on the other hand, look for intimacy before having sex. We're wired differently. So think of the loving, meaningful conversations that you have while lying together after sex. A man's heart is wide open after making love. Sex is the glue that holds a couple together. It allows us to release stress, bond, and connect on a much deeper level than anything else can. It sounds like my cat wants to have sex. Sex connects us beyond the physical, mind, and body. And together, we touch God as impassioned bodies join together. There is nothing more intimate than making love with your partner. You know, as a coach, I work with both men and women, and I encourage lovemaking to bond a couple together. And the resistance of women to have sex with their husbands can have something to do with a lack of trust, not necessarily due to infidelity, but they may not trust their husband for other reasons. But infidelity could be a cause. And the fact that many men don't recognize their woman is not having an orgasm could cause a woman to stop wanting to have sex. So we will touch on a sexless marriage at the end of the show. It is not my focus, though. So we are definitely different physically, mentally, and emotionally. We can't blame men for the way they're wired. They're wired to procreate. Men's prowess and strength has been something that lets a woman feel safe, protected, no matter his stature. So let's look at the male form. Their shoulders are wider than a woman's. Their upper body is usually strong. Their nipples can be sensitive. Yes, ladies, they can be. And they have their sexual body parts, penis and testicles, located on the outside of their bodies. You can tell when a man is aroused. His eyes dilate and his jeans or slacks tent. He cannot hide his arousal the way a woman can. Women can hide a lot, can't we? When he relaxes, his scrotum is in constant motion. When he's hot, his testicles drop, so their precious cargo, the sperm, stays fertile. Too much heat in the kitchen could kill the sperm. Now, when he's cold, his scrotum takes the elevator to the top floor and hug his body. Just this simple up-down process has got to be annoying. If nothing else, the constant sensation has got to be a sentence stopper. Having all that sexual paraphernalia outside of a man's body draws his attention to it because it moves around when he walks. Think of it. Women wear bras. We hold all of our stuff firmly together. When you think about having all those body parts in constant motion, it would make it impossible to think about anything else. This is probably the underlying reason it has been scientifically proven that men think about sex, and this is no joke, every 52 seconds. I had somebody make a comment on the review of my book that it was bullshit, but look it up, it's true. Okay, men's external sex organs are representative of their communication style, upfront and exposed. Men rarely hide what they think, like their exposed body parts. When they're upset or angry, they let you know. When you ask a man what he thinks, he'll tell you straight. What's not to like about that? Men think differently than women. They're far more analytical. They are problem solvers. Tell a man your problem and he'll give you a solution. If you don't want your problem solved and just want a shoulder, you need to tell your man first, I need you to listen to me without solving my problem. Can you be a sounding board for me? Ask and you shall receive. Well, what turns on a man? Do you know? Well, the sight of a beautiful woman, bouncing breasts, a sexy backside, a slit in her skirt cut up to her thigh. Men are visual creatures, which is why porn is such a turn-on for them. More about porn later. So what turns on a man? In a nutshell, just about everything. Just walk in front of a man naked and your job is done. Men want you to touch their penises. End of story. Men can get hard just by being kissed. Oxytocin is released in a man's body, which arouses him through kissing. And if you haven't touched his penis yet, now would be a good time. Men and women have vast neurological differences. Men's bodies are bathed in testosterone, which is a key component causing him to think of sex so frequently. Men speak far less than women. Women speak an average of 250 words per minute, while a man will only use about 125 words. Men are of few words. They speak less, usually, than women, and they wish we would also. I think that's men's biggest complaint. We talk too much. In one 24-hour day, women use 20,000 words on average, while a man only uses 7,000. In a 24-hour day, we women use 20,000 words, while our men speak about 7,000. So when women communicate with one another, they prefer to be face-to-face, making eye contact. Men prefer to speak at angles or alongside of them, which refers to our distant hunter-gatherer days where men would go hunting together while they talked. They would talk while they walked. And conversations with men are usually action-driven. They expect to resolve something by talking about it. They glance at one another on occasion without making intense eye contact. Rather than making sounds like, yeah, like women do in conversation, men will sit and listen silently. So men give women the impression they're not listening. You know, because we're so different, There's so many aspects of the man that is different. And if we understand these, our relationships can be hugely improved. So we think that men aren't listening because they look the other way, and rather than making eye contact during a conversation, it leaves us women confused. Men can tend to jump around from one conversation to another, different subjects, which also makes us women think they're not paying attention to us. Men may close their eyes or cover their face, and we women might have the impression they don't want to hear or don't want to listen. And these differing perceptions give us the wrong impression. Understanding is what is needed. We're different. Our perception of what is happening colors how we feel about the communication in our relationships. And sex is the unspoken communication between two people, usually. When two people are in sync with one another, sex becomes an art form of fluid movement. It creates mutual pleasure. There's an unspoken understanding between two people that comes from the ability to communicate their desires or wishes verbally and non-verbally. Excuse me one second. The spoken word assists the nonverbal communication to be clearer. So what does a man need to be happy, content, and fulfilled? Well, besides having their tummies full of good food, they need to be respected, appreciated, heard, and understood. They also need sex to feel good, so they feel good about themselves and the relationship. Sex is a huge part of building a man's self-esteem. And if he isn't getting sex at home, he will feel small, rejected, and emasculated. So that brings me to the question, why do men cheat? Well, men and women both cheat, but the subject of men in particular, they aren't getting sex or the type of sex they want and love. For example, I know of several men that have cheated because they weren't getting oral sex at home, or they wanted anal and they weren't getting that at home. So if an affair was offered outside the marriage or relationship, it was simply more exciting than what was being offered at home. Or perhaps another person was listening and you weren't. Maybe he felt that his spirits were lifted by someone else. So sometimes we get too critical and nag, and criticizing our men is not what they need to be hearing. They need to be told how wonderful they are, what a great provider they are, how wonderful they smell, how great they feel, and how sexy they are. All right, so regarding the different types of sex that wasn't offered in the marriage or relationship, so it could be kink, maybe. He'd like to be tied up to the headboard while you pleasure him, or maybe he wants anal or oral. So anything that is okay between two people is okay. If something is uncomfortable or painful, have a word that means stop, and then use that word when you want to stop the activity, and stop the activity immediately. You know, in a long-term relationship, sex can become stale, which is why we need to switch it up, change positions, and do something creative for our men. And some examples are, and I'm going to get into those examples a little bit more deeply and intimately in a little bit. But some examples are role-playing, you know, pretend to be a cheerleader, or sexy flight attendant, or maybe the Starbucks barista, and do some role play for a change. Have some fun. And we talked a little bit about oral sex. And I've heard some women say, ooh, they don't like it. But I have to say that that is a mind over matter thing. Men love oral sex. And I've never one that said, hated it. Engaging in lovingly in oral sex can allow a man to feel revered and worshipped. And remember what I've said in the past about Sting and his wife Trudy? They practice Tantra. He says Trudy is his church. He worships her. So why not worship your man and his penis? He will love you for it. So giving him head can be one of the most intimate and pleasurable activities we can do for our partner. And there are plenty of books out there, and my book, Orgasm for Life, walks you through the details, exactly how to do it and enjoy it. So engaging lovingly in oral sex can set the tone for a wonderful, blissful, orgasmic experience. And oral sex out of obligation or fear does not get you to unbridled ecstasy or bliss. And there are some women that orgasm while giving oral to their men. Now, guys, I don't have any names, but I'm sure she's out there. Okay, so what if you don't want to swallow? What does it mean to a man? Doesn't bother him, right? Well, let's look at it this way. If we don't, you can make him feel rejected. I talk about that in my book, about how a man can feel when we don't. So it can be a mind over matter thing. Focus on the pleasure as opposed to, oh, this is disgusting, because whatever you think is what you create. Focus on the pleasure and nothing else matters. So how do you turn on your man? Stand naked in front of him or touch him? Yep, it's as simple as that in most cases. Remember, men have their genitals on the outside of their body, so there's a good chance if you touch him, he might be at that 50 second mark where he's thinking about sex. You know, the 52 second mark? Seriously, there are probably times when he isn't already erect and thinking about sex, but my experience is that those times are rare. And here are 11 hot ways to put, actually it's more like 19, I think, hot ways to put a smile on that handsome face. And I've got 25 listed in my book. All right, number one, take your clothes off. Now, no, wait, it's more than that. Take your clothes off. Stand there proudly. Let him look at you. Don't hide. Don't cover up. Don't, oh, I'm so fat. Don't love yourself enough to be able to stand there proudly without covering yourself up. Allow him to take you in with his eyes. Remember, men are visual. They love to look at us. You're sharing your body as a gift for him to feast his eyes on. Remember, he's a visual creature. He loves to look at your body. All right, number two. Right there in the middle of wherever you are, maybe not Costco, unzip his pants. Take his penis into your mouth and make sure your mouth is nice, wet, and juicy. You can take a little ice water in your mouth. Oh my goodness, I'm giving you ideas. Make sure your mouth is wet and juicy. He'll enjoy it so much more when there's ample moisture. Squeeze his buttocks and maybe even a little too hard. And from here, you can continue and move to another location. And the surprise will really excite him. You know, when we have this sex only happens in the bedroom idea, it gets really boring. And if you're in a long-term relationship, we need to avoid boredom. Here's another one. Number three, lean over a couch or chair, standing up. Have sex standing up. Something really different. A change of scenery and environment can be very exciting. Change of position can also, and I have all kinds of positions in my book that will help you. Comfortable and, you know, a little bit yoga moves too. Sex in the bathroom at a party. Ooh, you know, when we do go back to having gatherings, public places can add spice to any relationship. So just don't get arrested and tell the police officer that I told you to do it. Even the kitchen counter can be an exciting place to begin or end. And just watch, the kitchen counter can be cold on the hoochie-coo. Number five, hot tubs at night under the stars. Oh, wow, with a glass of wine maybe. Can be a very exciting place to begin. I don't recommend having sex in a hot tub because the water can cause a sensitive person to have a bladder infection. So we don't want you to have that kind of pain. Number six, surprise your guy with a rose petal covered bed and a head to toe body massage. You know, our guys are often giving to us, trying to turn us on. Why not give it to him for a change? Allow him to receive all the pleasure without having to do anything for you. And if you feel so called, ladies, you can roll him over and jump on top or ride him like a cowgirl. Yeehaw! How about sex in an elevator? You know, just like the song, it can be very exciting. Although you may not have much time unless it's a very tall building. And you know what happens when things rise too fast? They can end just as quickly. Number eight, making love in the ocean. I talk about that in my book as well. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. Number nine, men love lingerie. They love visual, remember? They love to look at you. So buy something in his favorite color, dress up and surprise him. Buy something new for every day of the week. Sex every day might be more than you're used to, but he might even cry uncle. Here's number 10, dress up like a schoolgirl in knee socks and a short plaid skirt and pigtails. You may have to take that skirt to the cleaners before the night is done. Number 11, join your man out for dinner. Tell him beforehand that you will be joining him without wearing any panties, and you might not make it home after dinner. Number 12, speaking of texting, send him a photo of you dressed in something sexy. Leave him a message saying you have something prepared for dessert tonight. The anticipation will make him want to come home early. Number 13, be really naughty on another occasion and send him a text of a body part. Jeez, these Apple Watches, you can't get away from being texted. on another occasion, send him a text. You're texting him a body part. It could be a breast. It could be anything. It could be your belly. And let him know you're warming up dinner for him. Let his imagination run wild. Number 14, and this is one of my favorite. If you ever watched the movie 9 1/2 Weeks, this is a taste of 9 1/2 Weeks, one of the sexiest scenes I think I've ever seen. Play Kim's game with him. Blindfold him. Tie him to the bed or chair naked, but leave his socks on. And there's a reason for that. When our feet get cold, we don't want that. Leave his socks on. Use silk scarves as handcuffs and then touch his chest with an object and make him guess what it is. And if he guesses wrong, punish him by making him pleasure you in some way. He could touch your breasts. You know, there's all kinds of things you could have him do. Have him stimulate you with his fingers. Number 15, I love blindfolds. Here's a way to tease and please your man. Tie him up, blindfold him. Do you see the theme here? Tie him up, blindfold him, naked with his socks on, and make a banana split with his junk. Whipped cream, pineapple, ice cream, go crazy. Just a little ice cream as it melts, chocolate sauce on top, a little maraschino cherry, and then eat it all without using your hands. You might want to take his blindfold off halfway through, or maybe not torture him even more. Him not being able to watch may just drive him absolutely wild. Here's a lovely sensual one, really sensual. Wash his hair topless. Oh, come on, ladies, get over yourselves. Take your time and allow him to touch you while you massage his scalp. This form of nurturing and pleasure is another form of sensory excitement. Number 18, no, this is 17. Massage his feet and paint his toenails. A little kinky? Come on, he's got a feminine side, you know, just like we do. Number 18, cook his dinner naked night. Yep. But make sure you don't cook something like greasy, like bacon. It'll splash, could burn you. You don't want that. Not on your bare skin. Owie! So remember, a steady diet of missionary position every night, where you are looking at your watch, wondering when sex will be over, isn't for anyone. Oh, give it your all and watch your relationship change for the better. I cannot get over the number of women that either feel ashamed having sex because they're not married, or they're married and don't want to have sex with their husbands. Remember, sex is the glue. So I'm going to talk a little bit about pornography. And I know this is probably going to hurt you guys, but it's not good. It's not good for your relationship. And if you are alone, if you are single and lonely, it can cause depression. I speak a lot about that in my book. All right, so pornography depletes the Kundalini energy. That's number one. And in the 2011 Archives of Sexual Behavioral Study, 36% of women said they equate porn use with cheating. And there's a reason for that, compared with just 7% of men. Over 40% of women admitted to worrying about their partner's porn use as a sign of sexual dissatisfaction. So if you're in a relationship and you watch porn, especially if your woman isn't really confident, she may feel that you're not satisfied with her. And only 10% of men said the same. So 40% of women worried about their men's porn use because he was dissatisfied. Only 10% said the same. Well, women are often distressed by men's porn use because they feel it's personal, that he feels that she's not good enough, not sexy enough, her body's not young enough, supple enough, but it's almost never personal. It may not be personal, but it can still have a personal impact. You know, sexual media use is consistently linked to lower relationship satisfaction in men. And the unrealistic depictions in porn may alter men's sexual expectations. If a man watches a scene where a woman has oral sex and he comes on her breasts, then typically what the man wants to do is act out that with his partner. And I have heard some of my clients say to me, when something new is introduced in the bedroom, they feel it's from porn. And it makes them feel bad about themselves. So, you know, the frustration mounts and it can cause a disconnection. So there's more I want to say about porn. So I'll talk about this a little bit. I want to read a little bit. So fear and pornography. Pornography tells lies about women, but pornography tells the truth about men. And this is John Stoltenberg. Believe it or not, fear plays a large part in women's dryness and lack of arousal and overall pleasure. Generations of women have been in fear of rape, molestation, assault, and disrespect. Men are motivated by sex, while women have been in fear of men for thousands of years. Laying fears to rest is what happens in a committed, loving relationship. The fear of pregnancy is often one of the biggest issues faced by young women today, and it permeates our lives from the onset of menstruation through menopause. And men rarely understand how debilitating that fear can be. Abortions are not an option as protection, yet even with protection, many of us have gotten pregnant. You know, that fear of pregnancy can really be strong. Okay. So women long to be accepted, revered, and loved. Porn has ruined our marriages and is ruining society. Pornography has done more to damage women's issues with men than it has to enhance it. We fear we won't be sexy enough. It's like I said earlier. You won't perform the way the porn stars do and will disappoint you in the bedroom. We can't compete with women who have breast implants and 22-inch waists. We're not porn stars. The standard of beauty and sexiness of porn stars creates one real women can't possibly live up to, leads to low self-esteem and a feeling of not feeling good enough. Women long to be accepted, revered, and loved. Porn has ruined our marriages and is ruining society. 56% of all divorces are citing obsessive use of pornography with one party. Pornography has dehumanized women. It has caused men to view women as objects. It detaches their personalities from their bodies for their personal gratification rather than as people who have feelings. There's a level of brutality in porn that teaches men it's okay to be brutal with women, to cast them aside after they've come. Porn creates boredom with men's own wives, says Rabbi Shumley. I watched an interview with him. In an interview with Oprah, Rabbi Shumley explained that pornography portrays women as one of four degrading archetypes. They're either the greedy gold digger, mindless playmate, insatiable nymphomaniac, or one who craves pain. Rabbi Shumley says this creates the most insidious view of women, causing men to detach and not form meaningful or romantic relationships with them. So the other thing I just want to say, and I'm just going to touch on this briefly, that men who are alone, living alone, that use porn for arousal are more prone to depression. And even men that have women in relationships with them are more prone to depression. So men studied in a recent pornography survey were found to have more sick days and more depression than those who did not view porn at all. Porn creates loners who shun social interaction, which is needed for psychological health. And there's a study about infant children who died without human touch. Humans need social interaction to survive. Pornography, like any other addiction, can cause harm and harm all that is good in life. It hurts children, causes teens to view women in the way nature never intended. And teens are learning sex education from pornography, which is very sad. All right. It creates a society that is more brutal than loving. A Norwegian study of 400 couples, and I'm just going to finish with this, found that couples who watch porn together had the most satisfying sex lives, so a little caveat here for you guys, with better relationships than when only one person watched porn. So there are no secrets in the universe. People will eventually find out. If you do it, your kids will too. And that is true. So children are having their first encounter with porn as early as age 11 and even sooner. And what are we creating in our world? Okay, so that's from my book. All right, so what else have we got? So again, I'm gonna give you my phone numbers. Where are we here? I have to go all the way back up to find them. All right, the number's 888-429-5471 and 323-744-4841. So like I said before, men are different. They speak differently. They think differently. We love them. We love them. So I want to talk about my little bullshit thing. So I just want to review a little bit about that sex, penis in the vagina, is not the way women have orgasms. It's a very low percentage that do. And so having foreplay, and there's lots of different ways to have foreplay. Oral sex is one. And what I recommend is rather than both parties giving oral at the same time, that you do it one at a time so that each person has the opportunity to really focus on the pleasure. When we are both attempting to pleasure one another at the same time, things can get lost. And so I highly recommend you taking turns pleasuring one another with oral. All right, so this is my It's All Bullshit segment. In my It's All Bullshit segment, I focus on the lies. And there are plenty of lies about sex. So the first one is faking it. So I'm calling all you ladies out that fake it. It doesn't help our partners. It doesn't make us more deeply connected. Honesty can be our best ally. We develop trust when we're honest. It's okay to say, I didn't come. Can you pleasure me? It's okay to do that. Or you could self-pleasure while he's pounding away at the speed of light. Lying about your inability to orgasm doesn't help you or your partner. I know I was there for a very long time, but we have to speak out. We have to speak our truth. Kindly, gently, honey, I love it when you do this. Could you now do this for me? You know, if you give him a compliment, then it's not going to be harsh or hard. You don't want to be the drill sergeant in the bedroom, right? Lie number two, the bigger the penis, the better the satisfaction. Now, I love this lie because I have heard so many women tell me that men that have the hugest schlong feel like all they have to do is show up. So the bigger the penis, the better the satisfaction. It is total bullshit. Absolutely false. Read Orgasm for Life for my story about the average sized penis and the greatest sex of my life. If you think men cannot pleasure that you, if you think men, you cannot pleasure your lady with your penis, use your tongue, fingers, or a vibrator. Buy some party favors. Lie number three, you can't have sex after menopause. Come on, ladies, that's absolute bullshit. True enough, there may be a phase where a woman goes through where it feels as if she's got a blowtorch in her hoochie or on their vulva. Sex at that juncture is extremely painful. That is true. However, that phase is a phase. You move beyond it, and then you can have sex safely with lubricants that don't burn. So, yes, you can have sex after menopause, well into your 70s or even 80s. Lie number four, celibacy makes you closer to God. Now, you won't find anyone more spiritual than me or anyone who loves God more than I do, but I will call bullshit on this one. I love this one. And I know women are the ones that tend to say it more often than men. I'm more spiritual because I'm not having sex. It's bullshit. And the truth is, there is no other activity than an orgasm that lights up all centers of the brain like a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. An orgasm. Making love is sacred. Love making is godly. Now each of us is an outpicturing of God. God experiences life through us. God is in your bedroom. God experiences sex through us. Do you think that God doesn't want to experience pleasure? Who created sex anyway? So avoiding sex shuts down intimacy. And when a man has no sexual outlet in marriage, the marriage will die or he will look elsewhere. And you are saying, help yourself to my best friends or your tennis team. Celibacy is cowardly. We are meant to be coupled. We are meant to have partnerships. We grow more when we are in relationship with a person that mirrors our crap back to us. A relationship is a mirror to our soul. Relationships teach us more about ourselves. Now remember, sex is the glue. And marriages that had sizzle in the beginning and a sexual connection usually stay that way. Couples who have great sex also have deep, intimate conversations. Marriages that are sexless tend to have far more criticism and negative situations. There's more nagging. There's no touching, not even kissing or snuggling. Couples stop touching one another when they're not having sex. Instead of kissing, hugging, and caressing, a sexless marriage also involves little connection of any sort. Now, I have coached several men who stayed in sexless marriages. Now, what is a sexless marriage? A sexless marriage is where you have sex, I think it is like once or twice a year or something like that. Even sex once or twice a year is considered a sexless marriage. So I know of several men, they came to me for coaching for sexless marriages. And one was married for 40 years. He only had sex with his wife for 2 of those 40. Now, I know a lot of men would say, "Are you freaking kidding me? I would never have stayed." Well, this man did. And then his wife died of cancer. He came to me for coaching. And I helped him clear all the limiting beliefs about himself that were developed over those 38 years of sexless marriage, where he didn't feel good enough, where his wife continued to reject him. There's nothing loving in rejection at all. So I helped him, and then he ended up finding a loving woman that loved sex as much as he did, who had also been in a sexless marriage previously. So I'm happy to say he's very happy, and God bless him. I'm delighted for him. He's an older man. All right, so I cleared the blocks that, you know, the self-esteem, et cetera. And can you imagine the joy that he expressed to me when he was having sex with this lady and she was enjoying it? It was just, it's wonderful to see. Women get upset with their men because they aren't listening to them. Well, why would you want to listen to anyone if they're not willing to have sex with you? Men are beautiful sexual beings. They usually tell it like it is. They shoot straight from the hip. They won't say, "I'm fine," like we do, to avoid the truth. Most men will tell you what they want, how to do it, and what to say when you're doing it. If we've had a bad relationship, we might feel that all men are the same. It is no more true than saying that all women are identical. If we don't like men, there are aspects of ourselves we haven't healed. We're running hate programs, and these things need to be healed, and they can. I am a testament to that. So sometimes we don't even realize that we're bumping up against the fact that we want our men to be more like us, and yet they're wired differently. Recognizing that this is true is a beautiful thing. We can let go of the past, heal the resentment, and forgive. There's always a silver lining and always a lesson learned. No relationship is a mistake. And as women, we can't expect men to be like us. The fact that they're different is what makes life so grand. Can you imagine if men were exactly like us? Oh my God, we'd have to listen to their whining. Hey! Sex is the glue that holds a relationship together. It dissipates tension, allows greater intimacy, and a deeper connection to evolve. Sex shouldn't be a once and done, or once a week and done. Remember that even after menopause, incredible pleasure can be attained without the worry of someone walking in on you or getting pregnant. Sex is a part of our sacred expression of our spiritual self. We become greater than ourselves when we touch that part of our divinity, when all 80 centers of our brain light up and our kundalini rushes to flush us with ecstasy and bliss. To all you men out there, we love you. Respect, appreciation, and understanding are what we all need. Remember, the more we trust you, the better the sex. Thank you all for being here tonight. Stay sexy. Be true to yourself. I love you. Let's get back to loving me and you.